Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table, we dance whenever we're able. We'll routine to call the scenes to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-able. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're all come back in Camelot, we sing from the dire of Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about! Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
He, to serve the turtle! All rise for King to serve the turtle and the Knights of the Round Table!
bad and awful well. But you see, it's only on the surface. If you try to see the meaning hidden underneath, the measure of the depth can be deceiving. The bottom has a rocky reputation.
everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html over there at shazizradio.com. I played some tunes for you there, and before I tell you what those tunes meant to me, I want to just kind of give you a little idea, put a seed in your mind there. There's this huge picture on the wall, man, and there's these two individuals that are running frantically all over the world trying to find something. They don't even know what it is they're looking for. They're just looking for answers. And they keep running back and forth past this doggone picture, you know, and keep on running frantically back and forth, and they still can't find what they're looking for. Finally, you know, they start getting a little bit tired, and they decide to go over and sit down on this bench. And as they're sitting down on this bench, they happen to look up and they notice that big picture on the wall. And as they're looking at that big picture, it seems like every question that they had in their mind is starting to get answered. They're like, man, why didn't we see this before? You know, everything that we were looking for, we didn't even know what we were looking for, but everything we're looking for is right there in that doggone picture. And if you take a look around you, folks, and you watch your neighbors and your friends and your family just running to and fro, it's trying to keep up with the world, trying to keep up with the neighbors, the Joneses, so to speak. They just can't seem to get a grip on the big picture. They're missing out on a whole lot of different things. So I picked out a sequence of songs that I wanted to play here for you guys this morning, and I hope you enjoyed the music there. That first one was Joe Walsh, The Confessor. And pretty much in there, he's talking about you can't lie to the Creator or your confessor. You know, you can lie to yourself and you can lie to the world, but you just can't lie when it really matters. And that second song there, Black Sabbath, Heaven and Hell. If you listen really closely to the lyrics in there, it talks about the battle between good and evil raging on. And my favorite part of that entire song is close to the end when he said, "The world is full of kings and queens that blind your eyes and steal your dreams." And that's pretty much what we see going on in the world today. The next song down was Molly Hatchet, Flirting with Disaster. Now, if you look at today's society, and you look back through the history of man, that's pretty much what we've been doing all this time, is we've been flying down the road and we've just been flirting with disaster. And so, you know, with that said, this world that we live in, there are solutions out there. There's answers. There's ways that we can fix all the different things that are going wrong in this world. The last song, or the next to the last song down there, was Collective Souls, Shine. And if you listen to that, the lyrics of that song, to me personally, it talks about looking for hope. And that's something that, once again, everybody needs. And the very last and the most important song of all, Boston, Peace of Mind, if you actually listen to the lyrics of that song. The guy's saying in there, all he wants is some peace of mind. All he wants is some peace. And that's what everybody on this planet needs, is a little bit of peace. A little bit of security, knowing that your family's going to be taken care of and you're going to be all right and everybody's going to have their needs met. It's all we're looking for, is a peace of mind. So I wanted to play all of these songs for each and every one of you, but I can guarantee you that the majority of you never listen to the lyrics of the songs that you listen to. You like the tune, you like the way it makes you feel, but you just never really paid attention to what's actually being said in that song. In the military, they had this thing called attention to detail. You had to pay attention to detail because if you missed one little detail, it could make or break your day, literally. and it could literally cost you or many people lives. We spend a lot of time out there. Could you mute your mic, please? We spend a lot of time out there in this world, and we're just flying to and fro just trying to survive, and we're not really paying attention to detail. There's a lot of things that are happening in this world that really seriously need to be addressed. There's a lot of people out there that are just basically freaking out. And there's a lot of folks out there that take advantage of that situation knowing that there are people out there freaking out. You know? Hey, brother, could you mute your mic, please? There's an answer to all this stuff right here. There is a definite solution to making this world a better place. And it's actually so simple as to look in the mirror. If you want to find the answer to what's going on in your world, then you need to look right in the mirror. Because you are the answer. You're that solution that you've been looking for. You know, nobody can live your life but you. You have to be your own person. You have to walk your own spiritual journey. There's those out there who will mock and ridicule you no matter what choice you make. They think that their way is the only way and that you've got to follow that way. Otherwise, you know, you just don't fit in. But there's something to be said about individuality. There's something to be said about the person, the actual you. And while you're going through your life and you're actually trying to make your life and your world a better place, you also got to think about those around you. You also got to think about those choices that you're going to make in life. And so, those two folks that I talked about in that story, running to and fro, when they finally sat down to catch their breath, and they took a look at and they saw the big picture, they realized all of what's going on around them, it's not as significant as they thought. They had to rush to and fro to try to survive, when in all reality, they had to sit down and they'd looked and they'd seen all the answers sitting out there on the table. And they'd went over and they'd met their neighbor, they could have got something resolved. They could have took care of one another. Here on the Knights of the Round Table, we put solutions on the table. That's what we do. We bring brilliant minds from all over the world. And the microphone's available for you. You got something, some words of wisdom that you need to pass on to people out there? I put this network together so that people would get up in front of the microphone and talk to each other. So that people would share those brilliant ideas and build things. You know, regardless of what you think of the Bible or not, in Genesis, it talks about God creating man in his own image, which makes us creators. We create our own pain, we create our own suffering, we create our own destiny. And here we are down here on this beautiful planet, running amok, running to and fro. We got the pedal to the metal, we're flirting with disaster. Some folks, they see it, and they decide, well, you know, we got to speak some common sense to people out there, because this can't go on forever. We know there's people in the world that are starving. We know that we have the resources combined of all the people of this planet to ensure that nobody on this planet ever does without again. We know that there's people in the middle of war zones that can't even go to sleep at night and not even feel safe that they're going to be all right in their own homes. We have the combined capability between all of us, all of our nations, to literally make sure that everyone can sleep peacefully at night. And then everyone has the opportunity to make themselves better and make their lives better. There's individuals out there who, on a small scale of the overall scheme, of the overall big picture, are one of those little parts in that picture that is out there doing. It's out there helping people, that's out there employing people and teaching and just taking care of and being a mentor. Big brothers or big sisters. These ideas that we speak about on here, they're not just ideas when you put them to use, whenever you actually put the tennis shoe to the ground. They're the solutions. You're the solution. It starts in your house, starts in your heart, and it starts with the idea of what you want this world to be for whoever you leave it behind to. So with that said, I've been joined by two awesome Knights of the Round Table, Honorable Knights Thomas and Raymond. These guys are working behind the scenes on some alternative energy designs. They're working behind the scenes just trying to make the world a better place. They're working behind the scenes just trying to earn a living and live a happy life. In my view, these are two of the individuals out there that slowed down long enough to see the big picture. And if anybody else out there is willing to see the big picture and they want to join us on the Knights of the Round Table, it's as easy as a Skype call. We got big dreams, we got big ideas, but we're not willing to lay down and just let it all flush down the drain. We're actually going to get out there and do things. We have been. And we come together once a week here on the Knights of the Round Table, and we talk about those things. And we put ideas out there on the table, hoping that you'll pick those ideas up and run with them. Or if you got an idea in your mind that you think could help speed up the process. The combined resources of all the people that we call we the people of the world, we're capable of doing anything. And there's going to be those folks out there that are in their bubble that aren't just are not going to wake up. They're just not going to become involved. Because until it lands in their backyard, it doesn't exist. But I don't believe that you're listening to this show because you don't believe it doesn't exist. I believe that you listen to this show because you know that there is issues that need to be addressed. And that there are people out there trying to at the very least, put the ideas down on the table for the resolutions to come to pass. So with all that said, Thomas, Raymond, you guys got any thoughts on it? Anybody?
They told us to mute our mic, man.
Well, that's because somebody was banging around in the background. Clang, clang, clang. I mean, we're live on air after all. Then we got the jackhammer going while I'm trying to spread a good message of something out there.
Something. Or other.
So what do you think, man? Seriously, you got the big picture?
I saw somebody else was saying, oh, it's already written. You can't do nothing. You can't change nothing. That's a good way to basically be if you're trying to avoid any responsibility for what's going on in the world. You want to just take the easy way out and lay down and accept things for the way they are. Go ahead, you know. But if you're wanting to actually make a change, you got to actually realize that what's the old saying? It ain't over until the fat lady sings. You got to wait for the second shoe to drop.
Well,
hey, you might hear me
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, how does it sound?
Pretty good.
Well, I'm the one with all the banging.
Well, thank you.
The thing is, it wasn't banging. It was me opening the daggone door in the other room to let the dog out. My microphone is super, super sensitive.
Hey, there's a song about it. Who let the dogs out? Who?
I tell you what, I honestly believe that under the right conditions, my microphone will pick up a fly in the air and his wing noise. Man. Anyway, I just tried something new now. I threw a undershirt over it to see if I could muffle it down a little bit.
All right. Well, anyway, before we go on any further, I noticed a comment over in the Awake Radio chat room talking about no changing history as hard as you try. Nobody can change history. That's a fact. Nobody's trying to change history. But what we are trying to do is learn from history, use the wisdom of the combined knowledge of all those histories, both good and bad, to never repeat those mistakes again.
And what you just said is exactly what we've said at least 100 times on this program.
Yep.
He who does not study history is doomed to repeat it.
And as far as the rest will be as written, you know, the good book said that... You know, Jesus said that lest these days be shortened, that these things must come to pass. And if you listen to what he said, unless humanity was to actually get their act together, that those things would literally come to pass. Yeah. You know, I don't believe that our future is written in stone. Otherwise, we wouldn't have been given free will. If it's just all to crash, you know, then what's the point? There's no point in putting in an experiment together if it is destined to fail, you know. Unless you're just trying to prove a point. Hey, this is going to fail regardless.
Right.
And so, you know, with that said, it also said in the good book there that no man knows the time or day that he'd come like a thief in the night. And even if you're not a believer, death comes like a thief in the night. You don't know when it's going to happen. And so whatever you do in your life, that's what you did. That's it. You know, you don't get a second chance if you're a non-believer, an atheist, or whatever, and you die, you just go to dust. That's it. It's over. It's all over. So there ain't no reason to dedicate your entire life to trying to torment others, you know, unless that's just what you want people to remember you for. You know, it's like you only got so much paint. You know, and you're going to paint this picture. You want to paint the best picture you possibly can, because once the paint's gone, it's gone. Whatever you got on the paper after that, or the canvas, that's your picture. And that's your life. Whatever you do with your life, that's it. You know? And so, until you die, or until your creator shows back up, it's all up to you. It's up to everybody else what you choose to do with your life. We choose to try to do something positive because we see the world is jacked up. We watch the history. We know the terrible things that went down in history. But we're not going to sit there and cry in our milk for the rest of our lives. We're going to try to do something productive to getting it done. You know? That's what more can you say, man?
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
I think you're right. I really do.
I mean, you can sit around and watch your house deteriorate. That's as easy as that. You can watch it just, whatever you don't use, nature will take back. You can sit around and watch your life deteriorate. You can cry in your woe's me's about how miserable life is. Or you can get up and you can combine forces with your friends and you can use them and they can use you to prop each other up and help each other through life. And you want to get something done, you want to build a house, go up there and find the doggone carpenter and the plumber and the roofer and the drywall hanger and the painter and the electrician. Bring them together. Bring the dream team together and build the dream house. You know, and that's what we're trying to do here on the Mad Science Show and the Knights of the Round Table. We're trying to put the dream team together. not just one dream team. We want one in your neighborhood. We want one in everybody's neighborhood. We want one in every nation on the face of this earth. Because that's how it's going to get done. If you're waiting around for a corporation to give you the holy grail of cool technology, then you're going to wait. And you better have your money ready when they do decide to share it with you. Because that's how they share. You buy. Now, if you're going to wait around for your representatives of the world, or your parliaments, or your governments, or whatever, your senators, congressmen, to get things right, then you're going to be waiting a long time, because look how history shows the depravity stinks. The only ones who have the power is we the people. And people can sit around and they can boo-hoo and cry and piss and moan all they want about how terrible the government is. We outnumber the government by the millions. And if the government's doing a lousy job, if I come and work for you at your place of employment and I do a lousy job, you're going to fire me and hire somebody who's going to do a good job. That's the way it is. But the deal is, everybody says, well, I don't like to get involved in politics and religion, you know. Well, and if your life stinks around you, then that's your fault. Because you didn't pay attention to what's going on. You still running back and forth past that big picture, seeking the solutions that you want. You know?
Yeah.
Somebody put a comment in the Shaziz radio chat room. Says, America hit the bottom spiritually, and unless there is a major revival, God will judge her harshly. Well, that's true. That's according to my beliefs. It might not be according to somebody else's beliefs, but that's true. That's true whether you're a believer or a non-believer, because you can't keep going down the road of destruction without seeing exactly that. You know, and if your morals are such that every single generation gets worse than the generation prior, then you can expect that the next generation might even just very well shock you. Go back and look at the history of rock and roll, man. Starting off with like the Beatles and Elvis and Chuck Berry and all them. You know, they were pretty wild back then. All right, that was wild compared to the times. But every single generation thereafter had to top the next guy, had to top the next guy. The music had to be harder, it had to be louder, had to be more violent, had to be tougher, you know? Until you finally get to this modern day craziness that sounds like somebody banging on some pans and beating the heck out of a guitar and squawking like a pig. Sound like a demon out there yelling. See, that stuff doesn't have to be, but it's going to take a whole long time to clean up the mess of that past. Just like it's going to take a long time to clean up all the decisions that had been made prior to us standing here having this conversation. It wasn't damaged this bad overnight. It won't get repaired this overnight either. But what we can do is literally start steering this bus away from the cliff. We can start steering this boat in a good direction. We can start teaching our kids and our friends around us. You teach people how to treat you, including your children. And if you teach your children that it's all right to disrespect their father and their mother, then they're going to do that to their children. And then you're surprised why your child is sitting there dropping F-bombs in front of your grandma at church. You see what I mean, folks?
Yeah.
Now, we got some ideas out here in the alternative energy world that I think that could really literally solve all the issues of the so-called energy crisis. You know, like, there's a lot of folks out there that believe in the whole propaganda, the doggone global warming / whatever, and there's a lot of little chicken littles running around hollering the sky is falling. Yeah, I do take time to call my folks. Oh, yeah, no, they want to know if we take calls. Sure, we take calls. If you just add one of us on Skype, add Shaziz on Skype. Just remember whenever you come on there that you're live, and if you start dropping the nasty words, we'll have to drop the phone call. So, add me as a contact and call in. Anyway, so...
You know, Shazaz, you said something about the music getting louder and more vicious and more demanding and more powerful. Many, many years ago, in fact, shortly after I got out of high school, some government agency, not agency, but some group got a government grant to study music. And one of the experiments they did is they went to a very large lake and they got some underwater speakers. At one end of the lake, they played rock and roll music and jazz and stuff like that. At the other end of the lake, they played mood music. Real slow, sweet, soft music, you know, kind of makes folks want to touch one another. Well, after about 2 or 3 weeks, they went underwater with some scuba gear and started examining the life stuff that was in the water, like fish and crawdads and stuff like that. And they found that the larger, older fish had congregated in one end of the lake, and the really young, smaller fish had congregated in the other end of the lake. And the thing is, it was the small fish that congregated around the loud rock and roll music, and the older fish had congregated around the mood music. So music does have a way of controlling people without their knowledge.
Oh yeah, there's a whole lot to be said about music, man. Music, if you actually pay attention, you know, there's a lot of songs that I used to like that I didn't, and once I actually paid attention to the lyrics, I didn't want no more part of. But I like music like that song that from Boston, Peace of Mind, that kind of tells a story and has a bit of a moral to it, you know. But this world is a massive buffet. It's not all bad. There's a lot of good out there in this world. But you got to pick and choose, you know. It's kind of like that old saying that, I'm pretty sure you remember this when you were a kid, that they used to say you are what you eat kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
Well, pretty much the same thing when you're listening to music, you know. You feel like you want to be rowdy, you listen to some rowdy music.
Right. Oh, Lord.
So, you know, that's the deal there. Santa, if you add me on Skype, we can get you up in here. Just add me as a contact, and I'll drag you into the call. So, you know, anyway, I'm just trying to point out to the world there are solutions out there. You keep looking for them, but you keep running past the picture. You know. A house isn't built just by the painter or the roofer or the electrician. You know, if you're a man of many talents and you've got the capability of building it from start to finish, a handyman kind of deal, you know, hey, great. You know, but I just don't think that everybody out there can do the best at every single job. And so with that said, you bring the dream team together. And then... you don't have a house that's 4 inches taller on the north corner than it is on the south.
you speaking from experience there?
Yeah. My measuring skills.
I think the saying earlier would be those who say that something can't be done need to get out of the way of the people that are doing it.
Yeah.
There you go.
Exactly.
There you go. Oh, I love that.
My measuring skills is like this. If I want 4 2x4s the same size, I put one down on top of the other and trace that one out. Well, then what I didn't realize is that after you get to cutting, you end up with like maybe an eighth of an inch more each time.
You know, I've had so many times I can't even possibly think and recount all of them, but many times I've been doing something and somebody younger than me or thinks they're more knowledgeable than me comes up and says, that's impossible, you can't do that. And my favorite response, and I use it almost every time, is, okay, since you're the expert, does that mean I need to go back and undo the other 6 times I've already done it? Oh man, if you don't know, keep your mouth shut.
Well, I'm saying if they say it can't be done, there's no reason to even sit around and debate with you. You know, if you already have a preconceived notion that whatever you want to accomplish is impossible, then those are your limitations. You know, you've already put that wall up there. It's like when I was talking about thinking outside the box. The set of rules that you're indoctrinated with when you go to school and all that, and through life in general, those are the only limitations that you got. The laws of physics are written in stone. You can't fly like Superman, so don't even try. You know? You see what I mean?
Right.
So there ain't no point in even arguing over it if you believe everything that was said to you in the doggone school book and you're not even willing to question it, you know? So,
well, you know, here's another thing too. When you start talking about flying like Superman or whatever, just plain flying, if God had intended man to fly, would have given him wings. Well, my saying is he did. We call it a Boeing 747.
Yeah. Well, heck, man, everything out there that they say can't be done is pretty much being done. I mean, people's driving around in really fast cars. They're flying around in all kinds of different aircraft. They're going on top of the water, they're going under the water, and according to NASA, they've been to space. So,
well, one other old saying that really gets me that people can't seem to figure it out, and it's been right there in history all along, and that is, what happens when an immovable object stands in the path of an irresistible force? Man has solved this question millions of times. I mean, holy cow, people. Look at the Intercontinental Railroad. We had immovable objects called mountain ranges. And we had an irresistible force called man and his need, his desire, his love to cross this country on rails. What did we do? We went through it and around it and over it.
Yep, and sometimes under it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And the, well, we do that all the time. We're building our tunnels across the bay, like Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel. We went under the water.
Well,
I mean, what happens when an irresistible force comes in? When an immovable object stands in the path of an irresistible force, something's got to give. Well, the force is a force. The irresistible object is irresistible. So therefore the force, since it is a force, it has to make the decision, and that's man.
Well, once again, back in Genesis, it said that God created man in his own image, which makes us creators. We create our own pain, we create our own suffering, we create our own destiny, we make our own choices, and what we do, we got to live with.
Yes.
And what other people do, unfortunately, because we live in the same fishbowl, is we got to live with that too, which is obnoxious. Because, you know, if your neighbor's burning down his house just because he's high on crack and he wants to have some fun and roast some marshmallows, and the house fire gets over to yours.
You know, what you just said that brought to mind something we mentioned a couple of weeks back. We all live in the same fishbowl. Well, we're all peeing and pooping in the same water.
Well,
so why don't we get together and do it right, like hydroponics? You raise fish in water, they pee and poop in the water, and then you plant plants that the fish will eat the roots, and the roots go down in the water, and they eat the pee and poop. So now all of a sudden you've got fish to eat, and you've got plants to eat. Well, duh. Come on. I mean, you know, it's a vicious circle. It all ties together, and it ties in with what you say, the dream team. You put people together. Each one has a very special skill. No one person can do it all. And I've said this 1,000 times on the same program.
Yeah, look, I said it too. I said it 1,000,000 times. Look, I'm just a guy, man. I'm a guy with some junky old computers and a microphone and a radio network and that kind of stuff. You know, I ain't nobody special without you. That's it.
The thing is, three words say it all. E pluribus unum, which is Latin, means together we stand, divided we fall.
I can do a lot of stuff, and I could probably sit around and brag about it too, you know, but there's a lot of stuff I can't do. So, you know, where it's like, it's kind of ironic, because if you look at some of the different the football player versus the baseball player, you know, there's things that the baseball player can do that big burly football player can't do. Like, for instance, that baseball player, chances are, could outrun that doggone football player, you know? Or he's got hand and eye coordination that is just unbelievable, because the baseball player is hitting a tiny little ball, whereas the other one's got a big old giant football that he can catch. Well, then on the flip side of that deal, there's a lot of things that football player can't do that the football player can do that the baseball player can't do, you know? Such as the doggone football player could probably mow down the baseball player.
Most likely. Or he could stand beside him and protect him.
Yeah, that's it. They work together, and one can't accomplish the other one. You know, I always tell my wife this all the time, and after a while she started telling me, you know, my strengths are her weaknesses and vice versa. You know, Together we make one heck of a team.
I noticed that while I was there.
Yep. We get things done. You know, it ain't always in the most fancy shape, but hey, it gets done. You know? And there's certain things that my wife should just not do, and there's certain things that I should just not do. Cooking being one of those things I should not do. Because I ain't good at it. I try to go about it a scientific way, you know. Hey, I'll pinch of this and a dash of that, you know. Before it's all said and done, I'm out of whack. I even followed the directions to the T one time when I was younger. I mean, I sit there, I was making some cookies, right?
Yeah.
My mom comes home, the house is all full of smoke, and there's some brown cookies in one pan and some black ones in the other and some in the oven, and the house is all smoked up, and Mom says, "Boy, what are you burning in here?" And I said, "I'm making cookies, Mom." She said, "Cookies? How are you making cookies? I ain't got no flour." I said, "Sure you do. You got a whole canister of it over there." She said, "Show me." So I went over there and I popped the lid on this canister, and she said, "Boy, that ain't flour. That's powdered potatoes." Yeah, every 30 seconds you had to pull them out or they turned black.
Oh, man. Oh, that is so cool.
Yeah, she banned me from the kitchen after I scorched a few of her good pans.
I'll tell you what, though, I taste buds. I think if you ever got it down to where that you could give them brown, I bet they really taste good. Well, I love potatoes.
Yeah.
I'm weird.
These were all right, but they were kind of, they were like really super chewy. And some of them were like, when they cooled down, were really super hard. So there were uses, you know, hockey pucks, door jams.
Oh, Lord.
When we all get together, and sometime we need to have a big bonfire, and I'll cook out on the grill for you guys, and you got to eat whatever I cook.
All right. That sounds good.
Boy, he's a brave man, Thomas.
I tell you what, I could tell you some of the things I've eaten in my life that would turn some people's stomach.
Oh, don't tell me. I got a visual mind.
Well, I'll tell you what, sometimes what you think, because it looks or smells wrong, it actually turns out to be pretty daggone good.
Well,
look for cheese, for example.
I'll take your word for that.
I mean, there's a lot of cheeses out there that stink so bad that it really makes some people sick. I mean, literally, physically sick to smell it. But to me, I've never smelled a bad cheese, and I've never tasted a bad cheese. I don't know. I guess I'm 72 years old. I will be in another month or two, and I've been around. I've tried things simply because I haven't tried it. Doesn't mean I don't like it. And my wife is, she's younger than me, and when we first got together, Lord have mercy, I was in my 50s, and she was like 23 years old. And every time we'd go somewhere, and I'd say, "Try this. I don't like that. When's the last time you ate some of it?" I've never eaten that before. Well, then how do you know you don't like it? So I'd talk her in it, and she'd take a mouthful. Sometimes she didn't like it, and most of the time she did. I mean, the girl's Mexican, from Mexico, They've never heard of grits. I mean, we went to the Waffle House, and I ordered some eggs and grits, and I said, well, try this. Well, oh, I don't like that. What is it? It's grits. Ooh, that sounds nasty. Yeah? So, God, try it.
Well, there is something to be said about the way your food looks. As far as I'm concerned.
And she fell in love with the stuff. I mean, you know, and you know, I told her, I said, take the truck and take this material over to a job. Well, I've never driven before. Well, I got news for you. I never drove before the first time. Take the daggone truck and go. So she did, and she come back on me for 3 days and was no living with that woman. She was so proud of herself. So a couple months later, I mean, she was driving around, and I said, well, hook up that trailer and go down to Little Elm. And it takes about 70, 80 miles away. And she's hauling a 6,000-pound load of material on the trailer. Oh, I've never pulled a trailer that far before. Well, duh. There's always a first time. See, she did it without a hitch, comes back. I mean, it was 3 weeks. This woman walked around with her chest thrown out, beating on her chest, bragging about what she had done, this, that, and other. I said, duh. Well, now it's got to the point that we've been together so long, I had her do so many new things. I told her to do something she's never done before, and she doesn't even bat an eye. She just goes and does it. Just goes and does it. No problem. Oh, man. I don't care what it is. If you've never done it, don't say you don't like it or you don't know how, because you've never done it. Guess what? I never did a daggone thing that I do now before the first time.
All right, I got to interrupt you, man. Buddy Muddy Mudman in the Knights of the Round Table wants to send out a happy birthday to his son. Happy birthday to Samuel, by gosh, Napier.
Happy birthday, Samuel.
All righty. So, you know, that's what it's all about, man. You learn about people's birthdays out there. You learn about all kinds of different ideas and solutions and just the general hanging out with folks and talking here on the Knights of the Round Table. You know, I put on down underneath the doggone chat room down there over there. If you go up to the Super Chat room and you look down underneath the chat, you'll see a deal that says, come sit around the campfire with all your brothers and sisters from around the world. Together we can figure out ways to make the world a better place. And it's got a little GIF animation of a fire going on out there. And, you know, it's always cool to sit around a campfire with all your family and friends and stuff like that and talk about world events and stuff and what you're going to do and all that. It's kind of what we do here, man. You know what I mean? Sitting around the virtual campfire. And Samuel, by gosh, Napier said, thank you. You're welcome, son. Happy birthday. That's just too cool, man.
Yes, it is.
Buddy's a good dude. He's got a good family. Anyway, so where do we go to from here, guys? We've wound the world up into a frenzy, and we got everybody looking for that big picture on the wall.
Yeah.
So, you ain't got no ideas of where we're going to take this boat? Now that we got a hold of the steering wheel?
Yeah. You know, I can't think of the guy's name. I know it as good as my own, but somebody once said the true definition of crazy is to do the exact same thing.
Now that's insanity.
Way every time, and each and every time, expecting a different outcome.
That's insanity.
Yeah, insanity. Crazy insanity, yeah.
No, crazy is kind of different. Crazy is like my hair. It's kind of funny. You know, crazy is funny, but insanity is just insane.
Yeah.
So, you can't be a mad scientist unless you got the Doc Brown hairstyle, man, or Einstein, you know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, if you're doing an experiment, let's go back to doing the same thing the same way every time. You don't want to do it every time. But if you try an experiment and you think you really believe it should work, but when you try it, it doesn't, then you need to write down exactly what you did, step by step, including how many breaths you took. Then do it exactly the same way, one more time, to see if there was a difference. I mean, did you do it the exact same way the second time?
Well, and that's one of the reasons for virtual labs, is that while people's watching real-time experiments, they can maybe see something that, you know, isn't connected, that should have been connected.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Or did a fly get into your mix while your back was turned?
Yeah, kind of like that doggone movie, The Fly.
The Fly or The Shaggy Dog.
Yeah.
Where the professor was made, or what was that called? Oh man, what was that?
I'm getting ready to add Muddy into this call.
Okay, Flubber. That was a movie I was thinking about. Where he was making up his concoction, and he did something, and something happened when he was not looking, and he made Flubber. That was a cool movie.
Yeah, I like the shoes that he had with that on there.
Yes, I know. Oh, man, that was so cool. That was so cool.
Be able to bounce way up in the air.
Yeah, and stuff had more than 100% bounce.
All right, well, I think I added Muddy in.
He hasn't answered the call yet.
Yeah.
Maybe he's up.
I think he just popped in there.
Yeah.
Buddy, are you there yet? You got your microphone unmuted? You got the duct tape and bailing wire holding the microphone stand stable?
Yeah, his app came up, or his picture, but then he didn't answer, and all of a sudden it just scared again.
Yeah, there he is again. Yay. All right, well, we've been joined by Honorable Knight Muddy Muddy Mud Man. Santa never sent me a doggone contact request. Maybe one of y'all can get a contact request made with them and add them to the call.
Good morning, Dadgummit.
Good morning.
Good morning. How's it going? How's the happy birthday scene working out?
Oh, yeah, Mama told me this morning. I said, how come you never tell me any of this stuff until the last minute? So I just remembered. Oh, so I had to let her off on that one. So... he come in the door, I looked at him all mean. I looked at him and I pointed my finger in his face and said, happy birthday, and snatched him up and gave him a hug, and he laughed.
That's funny.
That got him good. So, they're going to go out and eat. I got other plans. I got so little time. I got a few things to do. I need to get the mower going. I got a piece of property I need to mow, and then I'm going to go mow my partner's place over there. And tomorrow morning I go and finish off getting the vehicle registered, which means I got to go to Lipan, get them to straighten out the VIN number mistake. And we start about 1 o'clock in a house that I completely rewired, not rewired, but wired up to the fuse box and all that stuff yesterday. Winds up needing one more piece of wire and all these old ancient receptacles. I got a screw on the plates in the front instead of that one in the middle. There's one in the upper left and one in the upper right. So that's going to be kind of hard. So I'll be drilling holes in plates and putting new receptacles in. I'll be able to screw those things in and get that straight.
Well, it sounds interesting. While you're racing through life, make sure you slow down long enough to look at the big picture, man.
Oh, you got a big
And people think I'm in a daze, and I just look at that picture forever. So, hey, buddy.
Well, you're not supposed to linger. That's called loitering. When you look at the big picture, you get your plan of action together, and you go out and enact those solutions and make things happen. So, you know, it's ironically enough, whenever I loiter, I make sure that I do it right next to a sign that says no loitering.
Well, I've been bad about being sidetracked all my life.
Did you just hear what I just said?
Yeah. I moved, we moved furniture for a living. My dad did line driver, coast to coast. And he sneaked me, how's the schoolwork? I said, oh yeah, Dad, I'm right up on top of it, because I wanted to go on the road. We'd sneak out there and he'd come find out, you know, it was worth the spanking, you know, to go out there and be with Dad on the road and all that. And, you know, he'd he'd be on the truck, and he said, I tell you what, I'm looking up, you know, looking up at it real good, you know. He said, go get all the bicycles in the backyard and hurry. Okay. Going to the backyard, man, I saw this Ant-Man. And I was playing with that Ant-Man for, I don't know how long, a long time. I was watching them. They were attacking a grasshopper, and I was trying to get the ants off it. Oh, man, he come back around. What are you doing? I said, Dad, they're eating this grasshopper, poor thing. And I said, he said, get the bicycle. Oh, yeah. So I grabbed the bicycles, got two of them, wheeled them out front, went back here, got sidetracked by that doggone Aunt Mal again. I was the kid always lost in wonder. Everything caught my attention, and you know, you say stop and smell the roses, doggone, I studied them suckers. I could count the cells in them by the time I was done looking at them.
Yeah, well, sounds to me like you get focused in on one thing and you got the tunnel vision. When I say talk about looking at the big picture, I mean stepping way back. Not so far back you fall off the edge of the flat earth or anything.
Well, you know, my dad told me something about Einstein. He said, do you know what a genius is? And I says, no. It's a person who knows more and more about less and less.
Exactly.
He couldn't tie his shoes. He never combed his hair. They had to remind him to take a bath. They had to remind him to eat. But I tell you what, man, when it gets down to that molecule and atomics, man, I mean, the man was, you know, more than anybody else. And he was the basis for all these people, you know. It's just the deal there. Now, I know I think a little different, but I'm not that bad. But just crazy. One thing I've noticed in people, it takes all kinds of people to bring all the knowledge out.
Yep.
That's what it is. So,
you know, when I look at that picture that you got on your Skype deal, I know it's the actual flux wind turbine, but the very first thing that I see when I see that is those old style magnetic mines that they put out there in the ocean for boats.
Right.
Don't look like that.
Or kind of look like a bounce of Betty almost, don't it?
Yeah. All right, so where do we go to from here, guys?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, man, I tell you what, I throw you guys under the bus just to see if you guys can rebound. You guys, like, fall asleep or something.
All right.
Let me ask a rhetorical question.
Hey.
Has anybody got an idea?
All right, I've got a bunch of ideas. I'm working on them too. The only time I'm not working on my ideas is when I'm on the Knights of Roundtable or Mad Science, trying to get other people to get interested in doing not necessarily the same thing I'm doing. If you want to, great, get hold of me and let's compare notes. But do something, you know. I don't know, man. It just gets me how many people just sit around on the couch, watch the news, which, duh, you're not going to learn anything there because you're only going to hear what they have to say.
Oh, speaking of the news, man, my father-in-law and my mom was over here. My father, stepfather, and my mom was over here. We got to talking about politics, man. Boy, you want to talk about the stuff hitting the fan. They'd tell me about how they were going to vote for Hillary Clinton because Trump was this and Trump was that, and I'm sitting here telling them both, are you guys insane? I said, first off, ain't not a one of them any worth nothing. You know, there's not one good candidate that ever makes it past the primaries. All the rest of them are establishment, crony, corrupt, no good for nothings. I said, mark my words, Hillary will be the president. All right, because they already
you
got
can't do that from prison.
Look, if she goes to prison, I'll be surprised. All right, a lot of these folks out here that do all the stuff that she's got indictments against her, but you know, hey, that's according to the media. I don't know what's what anymore because as far as politics go, they're all talking out the side of their neck. And you can't believe nothing the mainstream media ever says to you. It's all to feed you a bunch of the Republicans get the the conservative view and the liberals get the Democrat view and vice versa. You know, they're all lying to each other and lying to themselves and lying to us is all at the same time.
You know, there are two doors that lead to the same hallway that go down to the slaughterhouse.
Yeah.
Hillary Clinton has been put in charge of so many different projects, government projects, and the truth of the matter is, if you study her records, you will find that she has never, one time, ever succeeded in anything she's ever been put in charge of. Nothing. She's never, ever succeeded in anything she's ever been put in charge of. And now all of a sudden they want to put her in charge of the United States?
All I can say is this. When I watch people and I see their actions on and how they react to certain circumstances, The one thing that stands out most to me, of all the things that I have ever seen that woman do, I mean, granted, there's a lot of things that annoy me and a lot of her past that just isn't right, but the biggest one was when they killed Gaddafi over there, all right? Now, some people would say, oh, well, that's a good thing because he was a terrible person or whatever. You know, put all that aside. That was a human being that just got murdered, all right? She was clinging her hands together, and she said, and with a big smile on her face, we came, we saw, and he's dead, you know, and all this. And she was all excited about, you know, there was a death in the world, you know. Somebody got killed. That, to me, is pure evil, man. Who can sit there, even if you have to kill somebody because you had to defend your life or whatever, who can sit there with joy in their heart because they just took another person's life? You know what I mean?
Well, let's look at this, too. There's a pedophile island out there, sex slave child island. This guy was running for people all over. A lot of our doggone government went there. Bill Clinton and her were personal friends of the guy, went over there many times, and she's also the one that sold us to China for debt. Yeah, I don't want to vote for that stupid...
Well, if there was any candidate out there that I like, and it would be Trump, because of the fact that the mainstream media hates his guts. And if the mainstream media hates him, there has to be something decent about it.
Yeah.
Because all the mainstream media does is lie. Now, it could be a bait and switch, you know. He could be there as a Manchurian candidate to ensure that he doesn't get elected, so she does get elected.
Yeah.
I'm going to vote for whoever the mainstream hates.
He's smart and very capable, but I don't trust him. You ever notice how he talks? His lips are out 2 inches in front of his face, and it seems like his lips move, his eyebrows are like a string on them.
Who cares? He's one side of the same coin. They're all that way.
I would say before you decide to vote for anybody, go find How to Spot a Liar on TED Talks. Watch the whole thing, study it, and then go back through and watch every single piece of footage that those people have out there.
Yeah.
They all qualify.
And be prepared to call Suicide Watch after you get done, because you might have to. You might not want to live on this planet anymore.
Well, that's...
That is for president.
I would love to be president. I'd get some stuff done. I'd have to surround myself with... one of those Pope mobiles that are bulletproof, because I know they'd try to assassinate me, because they wouldn't like me at all, because I'd tell them just like it is. I'd go through all the X-Files and I'd tell everybody, look, okay, you guys want to know whether there is or isn't aliens? Nope, there ain't, sorry. Moving right along. Do you want to know who killed Jimmy Hoffa and who killed Kennedy? There you go. Moving right along. They'd hate me. I'd spill the beans, man.
You wouldn't last 48 hours.
I know.
And the earth is round, not flat. Round.
I tell you what, if somebody else said you'd last 72 hours, I'd give them odds.
Yeah, you guys could take bets to see how long I'd last in office.
I bet 48 hours or less. And give odds.
Now, I'm telling a story, kind of toot my own horn here for a second.
Toot toot.
Alright. I had a friend, back when I was a police officer, I had a friend that his mother had been put into an old folks home, and she couldn't no longer take care of herself, and her house was all dilapidated and falling down. Well, they sold the property, and he asked me if I would go in there and see if there was anything worth salvaging and put it all, in a pile, and so he could pick it up and, do whatever they needed to do with it. As I was going through this old lady's house, I kept finding in these coffee cups full of coins, all kinds of coins, old coins, new coins. I mean, she had change stashed all over that doggone house. Years and years of change just stashed everywhere. And so I kept dumping these coins into a box and everything. And I took it up there after I got done cleaning out what was worth salvaging inside that doggone house. And I carried it over there and I set it down beside him and looked at it, and he said, "What's that?" And I said, "That's a whole box full of change. You might want to take care of this for your mom." And he gave me a strange look. And then later on, about a week later, I came back, and it just so happened that doggone box was still sitting there. He was still contemplating over it. And as we were sitting there talking, he said, "You're too honest to be a cop." And I said, "Why is that?" And he reached over and kicked that box, and he said, anybody else would have just drove off and never said nothing about it. I don't know how much money was in that box, but it was quite a bit that she had saved up over the years.
Sure is. The thing is, there was probably a lot more in that money-wise in that box than the total value of the coins, because for years means that 30, 40 years ago, there were coins that old in there that are worth more than face value.
Oh, yeah, there were plenty of silver dollars and stuff like that in there. But the whole key of the thing is it wasn't mine to take. And my friend asked me to do something, and I did it honorably. And it doesn't make me a better person than anybody else on this planet. It just means I made the right choice, you know?
You have scruples and values.
Yeah, I was raised different, and people could actually just go with that towards how they run their lives, and then this world would be a whole lot better place. You know, the biggest problem we got in this world, as far as I'm concerned, is greed and selfishness. Yeah.
You know, you've played this song, my favorite song for this show, a couple of times. And it says exactly what you're talking about. One tin soldier, rise away.
Yeah.
You know, there was this guy who went into a restaurant and he decided to eat, and the waiter was rude to him. Made fun of him. Made fun of his name, his profession, everything. He just kept laughing, you know. And the guy said, I like tipping, but, I've never left a penny tip. He left a penny on the table. The guy says, "Really? A penny?" And he looks at it a second. He says, "I'm rich. I'm rich." He got one of them 1942 or 43 pennies that were rare.
Yeah.
Best tip he ever got.
We had a similar situation here in Louisville, Texas, at the Waffle House one time. Must have been about 30, 35 years ago. A man came in, and this was back before Waffle House. They would not take a check or credit card, cash and cash only. But anyway, the guy came in, dressed real nice, early in the morning, ate breakfast, and he came to about $6 or $8, something like that. And he went, pulled his checkbook out, and the manager came out and said, "No, sir, we don't take checks." So he pulled his credit card out first. Said, "We don't take credit cards." So he pulled his checkbook out. Manager says, "Well, I'm sorry, sir, but we don't take checks either." He said, "Well, I don't have any cash on me." And manager says, "Well, I don't know what we're going to do." And the cook walked over and said, "Don't worry about it, sir. I'll take care of it." And the cook paid for his meal. Well, 3 days later, came a thank you card in the mail addressed to the cook. Opened it up. It was a thank you card and a $100 bill. That cook gotten a thank you card and a $100 bill every Christmas for 5 years.
Sweet.
Well, I just think that there's a whole lot that could be done if we could actually just really seriously get a dream team in every single neighborhood out there. Every single country, you know, these folks out there, we talk about politics and they got all heated with my stepfather and them, and they're talking about how all the other family's going to vote for Hillary and all that kind of stuff, but they have a skewed version of the world because they got tunnel vision. They only watch a certain network. They only get a certain amount of information, and they don't take the time to go out and do like everybody, an informed voter would do, you know, the research. And you can take anything you want of something that somebody said so far out of context that you can make them sound like a racist or whatever. And that was part of the talking points as my stepfather's telling me all this stuff. Well, what do you want? The Klan to be in office or whatever, you know? Then, like, as long as you've known me, you really think that way, you know? I was like, you know, that's just liberal talking points coming out. But that's the way that the majority of Americans are out here, because they only got their side of the story. They haven't taken the time to listen to what the other guy was saying. When Trump was talking about how there were murderers and drug dealers coming across the border, he wasn't saying that everybody that comes across the border is murderers and drug dealers. He was just merely stating a fact, but it got taken so far out of context that now he's a racist.
Right.
Alright, so this is how they do it, folks. This is how the divide and conquer works. They keep you pitted against each other. They keep you thinking the other guy's a racist, the other guy's a crook. When if you take the time to do your own research and you actually listen to the words coming out of a person's mouth and formulate your opinion from that, then make a decision of who you're going to vote for. All right? Then you're going to have to also, on top of all that, in the modern day and age, you have to pay attention to how many votes are actually getting counted for the right guy, because with the technology that they got right now, it's so easy to steal an election, it ain't even remotely funny. So you need to be involved and hold the people accountable and check. You know, there has to be some sort of checks and balances on it. You can't just put the voting box up there and say, well, I'm going to trust this guy over here to be honest, you know, because not everybody in this world is honest. They have an agenda. They want their candidate in office. You know, it's sad but true. And that's why history has repeated itself so many times, is because people take and they trust too much. You know, I don't have no reason why not to trust somebody until they give me a reason not to trust somebody. But as I've gotten older and slightly jaded is my opinion on the world, I'm a little more skeptical and a little more cautious about who I trust in my life because of past experiences. I don't want to live like that, being fearful that I meet a new friend and they might be a creep and, you know, steal from me or lie to me or whatever. But at the same sense, I can't be blinded by the illusion that everything in this world is hunky-dory. It's not. It's, you know, it's messed up. And we got to be on our toes. Thomas Jefferson, I've said this millions of times on the radio show, Thomas Jefferson said that the price to freedom is eternal vigilance, which means exactly that. You got to pay attention. Otherwise, you can't hold on to the republic that they gave us.
Like I said, liberty and freedom are like breath. They only last for an instant. With each breath, you have to take another. You have to do the work to take another breath.
Yep.
Life appears as a vapor, is here and then it's gone.
Yep. Well, so you got to keep squeezing on the trigger to keep that the vapor coming out of that spray bottle. You want to keep experiencing life.
Right.
Don't just get to squeeze it one time and it hangs around forever.
It's
I looked
a lot
at
of work.
It this way a long time ago. It's like there's a fire down below you, but you're on this rope. So you're climbing this rope. Well, the rope catches fire below you, and you start climbing, but this rope is on a spool. It's got a butterfly wheel at the end, so it only goes down so far. So you're climbing that rope, and then you get tired, so you rest. Next thing you know, that fire starts catching up on you, and you're getting closer to the big flame, so you got to start climbing again. Every time you stop, if you're not going forward, you're going backwards is what it is.
Yeah.
Well.
So you got to keep plugging. Got to keep plugging. As soon as you stop, you lose.
You can either be a pacifist or an activist, you know?
many presidents and congressional people make all kinds of promises in their campaign in order to get elected, and very few ever keep their promise. Obama, that lying butthole, made a promise, a campaign promise, and so far he has kept his promise. We now live in the greatest nation in the world. Help me change it. And boy, did he ever.
Yeah, he made a mess out of the whole deal.
Yes, he did. I call Obama a liar because he claims to be black, and he's not. He's mulatto. He's half black, half white.
Well, even at that, that's neither here nor there, because the whole thing is the premise that he came out there was he told everybody about hope and change and all that kind of stuff, and people ate it up as if it was really a real deal. And they even called him the Messiah. I believe he's a doggone biblical antichrist myself, but that's a whole new story.
I'm not arguing with that.
But the fact is, all these politicians out there, just like you said, Raymond, they will say and do anything to get that seat of power. You know, and once they got that seat of power, it's like my constituency, who, you know, I don't know you guys, you know, and they got armed guards that protect them all the time at the same time while they're trying to deplete your right to defend yourself and so on and so forth. So, you know, you got to watch. If people can't practice what they preach, then you shouldn't be following them, period. Am I wrong?
I looked in my pocket this morning, and I had all this change, and no dollars, and it immediately reminded me it's time for change.
Yeah, really?
Well, yeah, take a little bit harder look at that change in your pocket and find out that your quarters aren't made out of silver anymore, your dimes aren't made out of silver, and your pennies aren't made out of copper. It's junk metal. And if you run it through the washer too many times, you can't even tell it's a quarter, you know, or a dime, or a penny, because it corroded. And that ought to tell people something. When your money is funny money and it ain't worth nothing, then you got an issue going on, you know?
Right.
Time for change. A few months later, we seen what was getting taken away from us, and I seen why he says time for change. Had to go out and buy me some diapers because I like to poop when I see what's going on. And every time I turn around, it's time for another change.
Well, like I said before, man, if you ain't paying attention, it's going to happen right underneath your doggone nose. Everybody's all like, you know, got their red flag and their blue flag. Hooray, go team. And at the same time, you don't realize that both of them on the same doggone team, and, you know, one of them's going to get it done faster maybe than the other's going to get it done. One of them's going to be blatantly in your face changing you over to a communist society or Marxist or whatever, you know. But either way, they're all heading us down the wrong path. They're all selling us out to the highest bidder, and that's it. That's just in America alone. That doesn't even count all the other countries out there that have already been, you know, had the resources depleted and robbed and looted and pillaged, you know, and
was,
what they do to people.
I was skeptical when I heard that it's time for change, and I was going, oh no. Because here's what I see. I see YouTube. It changed. I don't have a personal love. I don't have a personal mail room, you know, where people can talk to me and actually give me their email without everybody seeing. Google account changed.
Yep.
Skype? Oh my goodness, every time it changes, all I hear is grumping. Yeah, we're going to make it better, we're going to make it better. I tell you what, change is not always good.
Nope.
Well, not always good. I've been watching a series called Heroes. I don't know if y'all ever had the opportunity to watch it, but essentially it's a bunch of people that had a bunch of superpowers and stuff like that. And if they was to take these superpowers combined and actually do something positive to make the world a better place, then they could be like the heroes that the movie says about. And only a few of them in the doggone movie are actually, you know, true heroes that stick to, you know, good deeds and stuff like that. But there's so much backstabbing going on and so much just craziness. But it kind of shows that, you know, it's like that saying that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And that's probably why we weren't given superpowers, to be able to do all those kind of things. Because just with our words and our actions and you know, the average Joe, we've already made a heck of a mess with what we can do. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah.
Why would a person, man or woman, spend $300 million to get a job that pays $300,000 a year and only lasts 4 years?
So they can have the prestige, man, so they can have the free advertisement, so they can have a microphone up in front of the world and stuff.
Yeah, and the fact that they were worth $2 million when they got the job, and the 4 years later when the job's over, they're worth $300 or $400 million.
Yeah, that's what I say. When's the last time you ever saw a poor man get elected, and then whenever you do see somebody gets elected, when they come out there, they also seem to come out there smelling like a rose financially.
My question is, does the IRS examine these people's income? I mean, come on, their job pays them $300,000 a year. Yet, after 4 years in office, they have $300 million. Now, where did this money come from? Come on, IRS. Investigate somebody? Investigate some of our congressmen.
I'd say they like to call it diplomatic immunity. And as long as you're in the club, then you're all right. When you're not in the club, you're the average Joe, because there are so many things out there that have been done by the senators and congressmen and representatives of the world that the average Joe would have been so far underneath the jail, they'd literally be speaking Chinese.
You know? I want the IRS to investigate our congressman. Where is this money coming from?
Well, I agree with Raymond 100%. I seen when I took a plane flight years ago to go to Snow Island or Snow Pond and everything up there in New England and stuff for vacation. Now they asked for $5 for, you know, for global warming. And I, you know, okay. And on the way back, same thing. So it was three of us. So they got $30 out of us. And next thing you know, they have no idea what happened to that money.
They wouldn't have got
no
a red cent out of
the money. They were all collecting together. Then the money that went over to Afghanistan for reconstruction of their government, that all disappeared too. Big amounts of money.
They wouldn't have got a red cent out of me. I had to school them on basic science.
Then they had what? How many? It was a few trillion dollars that just disappeared? Then you went to court. Well, what happened to it? I don't know. Every time you turn around, it's more and more money just disappearing.
Well, you know.
Send food over to help the hungry. It gets confiscated at the border.
You're right.
They use it as political stuff. So basically, while you're trying to help people, you're funding a war.
Right. Exactly. If there are many, many places in Africa right now that, oh, there's a highway going through a desert. On one side of the desert is refugee camp, people starving to death every day. On the other side of the highway is rows and rows and rows of warehouses full of food that the Americans sent over there. And these people are starving to death.
Yeah.
Well,
the food is confiscated and used by the government to finance its political aggressions.
In my view, if you're going to use military force to get something accomplished good in the world and you want to feed the hungry, then by God, you take your M1 Abrams tanks and your bombers and all your planes and choppers and Black Hawks and so on down the line, and you deliver it, you hand deliver it person to person to those people, and don't let anybody stop you.
You load your bombers with food on parachutes. Then you have a squadron or two or three squadrons of fighters escorts. You fly over the four bases and you drop the food directly on the people.
If I was president of the United States, this is my campaign speech. If I was president of the United States, the first thing that I'd do is figure out a way to get those food over to those people that need it, because that's the biggest priority on the list.
My first would be to feed the hungry people in the United States first.
No, I'm going to feed them all at the same time.
There you go. I like that one better.
The whole thing is, that's the number one priority, because when people are starving, they can't think straight. And when they're starving, they're dying. And so we're going to get the people fed first. Then we're going to make sure that all the corrupt individuals have the right proper investigations going on, all right? And those who have put our nations into war are going to be held accountable. Now, they're going to be out there being servants of the communities that they were out there destroying. And if those people over there just so happen to not like them being there to help them out and, tar and feather them, sorry about their luck. You know, you reap what you sow. You know, one of the saddest things that I ever heard in my entire life was when I heard a reporter asking two little Palestinian girls, well, do you ever want peace with Israel? And the two little Palestinian girls says, no, we never want peace with Israel because they killed our mommy and daddy. What I heard from that conversation wasn't that, I take a side between Israel and I take a side between Palestine. What I heard in that conversation was a perpetual war. Because when those children grow up, they will be the future fighters that will come against the people of Israel. And vice versa.
Right.
You know, and those chains, if never broken, will continue to repeat the cycle over and over and over again, which falls back to the same deal. If you ignore history, it's bound to repeat itself. Yep. And the best time to start any war is before it ever even starts. You know? It's hard to stop a war when somebody's already killed. Once you get anger in your heart because your buddy just died right beside you and you want to retaliate and you run over there and retaliate, what do you think's going to happen? They're going to retaliate. You know, the common sense. I basically get in front of the doggone TV and I tell everybody of this world in every single nation in no uncertain terms, sit down and shut up. I'm about to talk. Literally. And I would lay it all out, every single bit of it. I'd say, you have a military-industrial complex. You have a military-industrial complex. You spend millions, if not billions and trillions of dollars fighting amongst the world and destroying everything in sight that you profess to care about. You're sending drones over there, and you're killing children while on this side of the world, you're over there talking about how we're trying to save the children. You over there, you're over there talking about how we should pay these people reparations, while at the same sense your history has just showed that your history turned around and did even worse with genocide over on this side of the world. So the problem that we got here isn't that we don't have the solutions. It's that we got a massive common sense crisis going around the world, and we're allowing crooked individuals to run amok. They control our money systems, they control our food systems, they control our laws and our rules and regulations and all of our resources. And they do it for profit. And it's got to stop. If this country over here is going to send factories over to this country over here, then they're going to be required to follow the same rules that they would if they were in our home. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
If I'm going down to Mexico to make tennis shoes because I can get cheaper work, and I'm treating my people like trash, and I'm polluting their waterways down there, no, that ain't gonna happen. You know, if the rules won't, if the rules apply here, they're gonna apply there. Otherwise, every bit of goods that you try to ship into the United States from that point on will be rejected. You'll go out of business. You see what I mean?
Yep.
If the countries hold their own corporations and companies accountable, if you stop taxing the living dog heck out of people all the time and giving them incentive to try to do better, you'll get the Made in USA label back. You'll get the Made in Mexico label back. And everybody will get all the things that they need, but they won't be made out of trash. You know, and people won't have to suffer to make them. When children are making clothing that you're buying over there in Walmart and you're getting a bargain on it, you think you're getting a bargain, you go follow that shirt all the way back to the factory and you'll find out that they didn't pay nowhere near that to get that shirt manufactured and get it into your hands. You know, there's shipping costs, fuel. All right, well, why is the fuel so high? Well, right now, ironically enough, it's kind of really low. But even at that, you know, everybody's out there trying to jack up this price and jack up that price and trying to get ahead in life and earn a decent living. And some people's out there trying to just be as greedy and as corrupt as possible. If you make a situation to where this particular product is very rare to find, then now you can sell it for a good price. Supply and demand. And it's got to come to a point where the people are going to have to vote literally with their dollars, with their common sense. I'm not going to buy your product. I'm sorry. I found out you were making it with children down there in Taiwan or Korea or whatever. So I'm not going to buy your product.
You're fighting with a double-edged sword.
Of course you are.
If you don't buy the product, those children are going to starve to death because they won't have
any money. No, they're not, because in our plan...
If you buy the product, you're condoning the corporation.
No, they're not, because in our plan, we're going over there to feed them before we ever even do anything. We're going to take that money instead of giving it to the corporation. We're going to give it to those people over there.
Okay.
That's how you do it. See, there's all kinds of negatives, and people can find them all the time. Well, you can't go up against the government because the government got too much power. Well, you can't go up against the government because you ain't got, number one, the guts to go up against the government, because you haven't understood that you are the government to begin with. If that document that we call the United States Constitution has any validity to it at all, you're in charge. You elect those people, you send them up there to represent you. This is a representative republic, and if you hear a politician call us a democracy, you vote them out of office, because they're idiots. They don't even know how this country was founded. They don't even know the system of government. They don't even know the difference of the checks and balances between the executive, legislative, and the judicial branch of government. The judge can't make laws.
I have something to say here. We're always talking about solutions. Okay, I don't know the solution, but I do know how to get there. But I don't know how to actually put it in motion. And that is, what we have to do is find honest people that really care about the United States and run them for office, and then all the people need to get together and vote for them. E pluribus unum.
Yep.
We've got to find some honest people that will step up and run for office, and then we got to pull together and make sure they get in there. One honest man in Congress is not going to do a bit of good. It's going to be like spinning in the ocean trying to raise it up.
Well,
and you make it deeper. We've got to find at least 50 good, strong, honest men and women that understand politics and are willing to band together once they're in there to correct all this corruption bullcrap.
Number one
is get the IRS to start investigating these congressmen.
Well, it's all going to, like I said, it didn't get this way overnight, and it's not going to get repaired overnight. But one of the things to recognize is the other side, that we call the government, has made it their position in order to maintain continuity of government, to be able to maintain power, is to ensure that they document everything that everyone else out there in the general public's doing so that they have dirt to hold over their head. And that's the way the entire dirty system works. Because they want to make sure that if you ever run for office, you got any skeletons in your closet, they're going to bring it out to surface. So if you're going to have to find those people that you're talking about, people that don't have the skeletons in their closet, and get people to knowing those people. And commercials out there on TV, they're expensive as all get out. So there's where you're going to have to pull your resources. You're going to have to force these people, force their hand to put these candidates. One of the things that they should have been doing in politics all along is ensuring that the media has to put doggone free spots up there for candidates only. And this whole raising money thing, this whole thing about you know, you're going to try to you know, see who can raise the most money, that needs to go. It ain't about who can raise the most money, because a crook can raise a lot of money. It's about who is going to do the right job when they get in there, who's going to lie out the side of their neck and tell you whatever they want to tell you. If you pay attention to their history, you'll know them by the fruits of their labor. And that's the only way it's ever going to get repaired. Taking the special interest groups completely out of government, making it illegal for anybody to lobby Congress for a special interest, campaign donations from anybody, flat out illegal. If somebody's going to run, they're going to run on their own dollar, they're going to run on their own merits, and they're going to run on their own honesty, period. That's the only way to fix it, man. Otherwise, somebody's going to figure out a way to get more money than the other guy, and whoever gets the, like they say, the squeakiest wheel gets the grease. If you're getting all the advertisement and everybody knows who Donald Trump is, and everybody knows who Hillary Clinton is, but nobody knows who Raymond or Muddy or Thomas is, you see what I mean?
Yep.
That's how you're going to have to do it.
They got to run on their own money. Well, that makes the rich people get up there and the poor people that actually know what it's like to have a hard time don't get to be president.
Well, that's why you need the average Joe up in there. You need the guy who has been working hard all his life up in there. Because he knows what it means to sacrifice. He's raised a family. He knows what it means, how hard it is to survive out there in the world.
You're going to have to strike down corporate law completely and make all the people inside corporations culpable for their crimes. Don't let them find their way out.
Yep.
And strike down the Federal Reserve so there's no funny money being printed anymore. That there's, you know exactly how much money's out there, and the people who are issuing or responsible for issuing it don't get to put more into the system or take more out of the system, so they can manipulate the system for their own trading purposes.
Yep, and diplomatic immunity, gone.
Yeah, the only way you're going to do that is if you're going to be able to put a body cam on every candidate that's out there, whether they're president or they're in one of the Senate offices or they're just a county clerk. Stream it all online.
Well, these folks have figured out how to game the system. They figured out how to scare the old folks into thinking they're going to lose their food stamps or their Social Security if they vote this guy, or vice versa. Vote this guy, you're voting in a racist. You know, they know all the dirty tricks. They know how to play on people's hearts. Vote for this guy and save the children. You know, and it gets so ludicrous, it's beyond ridiculous, that people actually buy in all this stuff without doing any kind of research whatsoever to figure out what's truth and what's fiction. You know, you look at TV today. I did a video back in, I think, about 2011, whenever we switched over from analog TV to digital TV. And I told everybody right out of the gate, I said, you better keep your eyes peeled, because there's going to be things happening in the news that probably ain't even really happening. Because you can manipulate digital video so easily, it's not even funny. But analog is a whole lot different story. It takes a lot of effort to, you know, splice together a film and make it look real. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, with that said, you know, you got to pay attention to the news media. Watch for those bloopers in the background where the same car passes the people that supposedly in two separate areas. there's a video out there where the bus comes by behind the lady and in a car, and then in these other people who were talking across town for a supposed shooting, suddenly the bus goes behind her in the car. They were only 30 feet apart in the parking lot filming the videos at the same time. And that's just one of hundreds of examples out there where they got caught red-handed faking news. So, if you think that, you know, there's something going on over in Syria, they're telling you they're just terrorists or whatever, doing something, you better check it out. You better find out before you send your boys and girls over there to fight. You better know it's the truth. That's the difference.
That's right.
You know, if you pull a gun on somebody, and you're getting ready to take somebody's life, you better be able to justify it, not only in your mind, but before your Creator's mind. You better be 150,000% in the right and be willing to accept the responsibility of what you just did. And a lot of people, under the guise of patriotism, get suckered in to going over and fighting wars for things that may or may not have occurred, because the people out there that had positions of power where they could manipulate and make people believe that things were not as they appeared. You see what I'm saying?
He who does not read the newspaper is uninformed. He who reads the newspaper is misinformed. Samuel Clemens.
Yeah, so read the newspaper to find out what they're lying about. Do your research to find out whether it's fact or fiction. And then make a decision. And if you're wrong after that point, at least you put forth the honest effort to make things right.
There you go.
What do you say we take a quick music break and refresh our coffee?
You got it. All right.
We'll start off with your song there, Thomas, or Raymond, and then we'll do Thomas's favorite song. And then I'll throw a couple in there.
I want to hear the song.
Here we go.
Listening, children, to a story that was written long ago about the kingdom on the mountain and the valley folk below. On the mountain was a treasure buried deep beneath a stone, and the valley people swore they'd have it for their very own. Go ahead and hate your neighbor, go ahead and cheat a friend, do it in the name of heaven, justify it in the end. Won't be any trumpets blowing come the judgment day, on the bloody morning after. One tin soldier rides away. So the people of the valley sent a message up the hill, asking for the buried treasure, tons of gold for which they'd kill. Came an answer from the kingdom, with our brothers we will share all the secrets of our mountain, all the riches buried there. Now the valley, thrive with anger, mount your horses, draw your sword, and they killed the mountain people, so they won their just reward. Now they stood beside the treasure on the mountain, dark and red, turned the stone and looked beneath it. Peace on earth was all it said. Go ahead and hate your neighbor, go ahead and cheat a friend, do it in the name of heaven, you can justify it in the end. Won't be any trumpets blowing come the judgment day, on the bloody morning after. One tin soldier rides away.
The river.
Shazam.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html, where you not only have access to the Shaziz Radio side, but the Awake Radio side as well. And so with that said, we've been talking about a lot of stuff on here, played some tunes and that kind of stuff. Most generally, it's all about paying attention to detail and stepping back and looking at the big picture. You can take your life in any direction you want. You know, it's up to you however you want to end up doing all that. You know, it's like you're in charge of your own destiny when you are paying attention to where you're going. You know, you can make some positive choices or you can make some negative choices. And those choices will not only affect you, but those affect everybody else around you. And so, with that said, stepping back and looking at the big picture and seeing what needs to be addressed. And before you rush in to do something, you make sure that you go prepared, such as the fact that we talk about going over and feeding the hungry and stuff. Well, we need to take some refrigerators with us to feed them and make sure that whatever they got, they can store. We need to teach them how to irrigate, teach them how to farm, and give them the tools and the technology to do just that. You know, it's not beyond the realms of possibility, any of things we're talking about as far as making this world a better place and getting everybody to the table with all the ideas and enacting those solutions and getting people out to put the dream teams in every single neighborhood of the world. You know, it's just something that it's hard. Life is hard. Nobody ever said it was going to be easy. But the only way that anything is ever going to get accomplished, the only way to build that so-called, doggone it, utopia, so to speak, you know, a heaven on earth is to literally get out there and build it. You got a piece of land out there, and if it's overgrown and you want it to look beautiful, then you got to get out there and you got to work the land. You got to be a good caretaker, you know, otherwise it's just going to do what it does. And nature will always take back what you don't want to use. And so, with that said, there's a lot of people out there that have a lot of ground that's not being used. It's overgrown. It's, just kind of gathered up there. The governments have locked down thousands and thousands of acres, yet they're always hollering about how somebody in this world is starving. You know, when there's plenty of farmland, there's plenty of resources to go around for all the different nations of the world. You know, maybe in my neighborhood I can grow something that you can't grow in your neighborhood, and we can trade and barter with one another and share all the blessings that we've been given. You know, but it don't happen until you get common sense to the table. You can't expect that the governments of the world are actually going to use common sense whenever they're being bombarded continuously by special interest groups and corporations offering them things. And you can't expect them to, if they're not already a good person, to suddenly become one and do the right thing. You have to decide whether or not you want to be that good person. You have to decide whether or not that the world that you want to leave behind for your future generations, that you're going to pave the stones into the future that are going to be good, smooth paths for them. There's all kinds of reasons why we can't do stuff. But there's all kinds of reasons why we can, and then why we need to do stuff. Now, I've heard so many different arguments in so many different directions, everything from spiritual beliefs to, it's all written in stone, to laws of physics that you can't defy this, you're stuck in the box. Yes, these are the prison walls, and you are the person who will know your place and shut your face. Don't speak out of turn. Do what it is that you're told, and you will have everything that you need as long as you're willing to go to work. And that's pretty much what it is. People talk about slavery when they don't really realize what the entirety of slavery is. There are working slaves all over the world. They're slave to the dollar bill. They're a slave to the system. And in order to live that dream of so-called freedom and sovereignty or whatever, you're going to have to buck the system that is the beast that's eating you alive. The same system that would keep you oppressed. Am I advocating an overthrow of all the governments of the world? No. I'm advocating that everybody out there uses a little bit of common sense and starts doing some research and pays really close attention to what's being said, what's actually being done. Not somebody's view on some microphone or TV show that tells you that the world is so miserable and it's all terrible and you ain't got nothing you can do about it, so you decide to self-medicate yourself. Some people just can't take it to the extreme where they finally decide they're going to jump off of a bridge. You need to be that one person that talks them off that bridge. You need to be that one person that shows them a light of hope. You, personally, can make a big difference in the world if you choose to do so. And if anybody ever out there tells you that you can't do this because, walk away from them, because they don't know. They honestly just do not know. The fact of the matter is, it may cost you one heck of a price to try to get something decent done in this world. And you're going to have to make the choice of whether or not you're willing to pay that price. But if you're not willing to pay the price, and I'm not willing to pay the price, and nobody's willing to pay the price, then none of us have a reason to even open our mouth to complain. Because by complying, by being complicit and just sitting idly by and being passive and allowing things just to happen, when they take away your neighbor, and they take away the neighbor on the other side and the one behind you, and you said nothing, you didn't do anything, you didn't try to stop it, you didn't try to speak out, and now when they come for you, there's nobody to help you out either. The road that we all travel is going to end up in the same place. We're all born and we will all die someday. And until we get to the other side to find out who's right or who's wrong, whether the world is flat or whether it's round, or whether we have been to space or haven't been to space, or where all the mysteries of the universe are unfolding before our eyes and the veil is lifted, we got to recognize we all living in the same exact fishbowl. And what you do on your side will affect me on my side. Vice versa. If I want to tell you to clean up your yard, I have to first be willing to clean up mine. And so with that said, I'd like to hear from some of the knights over here, because they always have something brilliant to add. And I just want you all to remember out there, if anybody tells you that it can't be done, it's because they haven't tried or they just don't know. If they tell you that your back is against the wall and you can't do nothing about it because the beast is too powerful, then you haven't looked for the weak spot. If you keep feeding the beast and the big beast keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger, then you just got to step back and think about this for a second. The larger the beast becomes, the smaller you become, to the point when finally you are unable to do anything about it.
You gonna stop and let somebody else say something? You asked us to say something.
Sorry guys, I had you
moved. I didn't want to forget a thought, and you almost caused me to lose it. You know, you said you're not willing to pay the price. If you're not willing to pay the price, if you're not willing to set a price and pay a price for something, a price will be set for you.
Yep.
And you may not want to pay the price it's set for you.
You know, Sheila, you said something about somebody telling you something is impossible. You know, somebody sent me an email of a list of things that are truly impossible, and one of them was putting the toothpaste back in the toothpaste tube. And, the first thought, I mean, it sounds silly, but if you think about it, isn't it impossible?
No, it's not impossible. It's easy.
Hey, think about it. Realistically, logically, how did they get the toothpaste in the tube to start with?
Yep.
Ba-bing.
Bing. Come on. Somebody tells you something's impossible, don't even listen to them. They don't know. They don't know anything. Anybody that tells you that something you're doing and you've done before is impossible, don't even give them the time of day. Just ask them, since you're the expert, what do I need to do? Go back and undo what I've already done six other times? I mean, after all, do you even understand what the word X spurt means an X is a has-been. A spurt is a useless drop of water. Come on. Expert's going to tell me I can't do something I've already done?
Well, you know what? I always say where there's a will, there's a way.
You got it. You just, if you can't do it, don't say you can't. Just say you haven't found the right way to do it yet.
Well, yet. And there are radio shows out there that basically try to scare the living crud out of people, and it's almost as if, it's kind of like, you ever went to a monster movie at the theater? There's a whole lot of people inside that theater, and they're there to just see a scary movie, to get scared or whatever.
Right.
But it seems like there's crowds of people like that in this world that want to listen to fear porn because they want to be scared.
They want that adrenaline rush.
Man, I'm going to ask you something, okay? Why is it that it's legal for the guy to make that movie to scare those people in the theater, but it's not legal for somebody to run in there and you shout fire and make them all scared?
Right.
Yeah, Muddy was getting ready to say something. I think I cut him off. Sorry, Muddy.
Yeah, I kind of drifted off and had a daydream one night. I wrote a poem, and it's kind of like the oppressed becoming the oppressors. How long can they oppress us and keep playing the game before you get ganged up? So here it is. It's called Antonio Farms. Once I had a mess of ants. I named them, every one, and made a clear casing, a plexiglass job. Very well done. I was so proud of my works that I bragged to myself, and I went back to work like I was Muddy the Elf. Many I made and filled with ants. I sold them, got paid, and listened to their ants. I continued to build. I made profit without end, till I noticed in the orders I filled that somewhere, somehow, I had sold my friends. Forgetting their names, they all kind of looked the same. So did their homes. Lost in my shame, lost in the game, I started to roam, a memory of Antonio, his family, and his auntie at home. Then one night, dark and dreary, while I groveled, weak and worried, there came a rapping, a simple tapping, as they ate my chamber door. With a thud fell my bedroom door. I saw the Queen Antonioetta, that hard-working woman, with a hard-working army and a vendetta to settle the score. I screamed and yelled out, Antonio, help me. Your great queen just ate my door. I could hear their thunderous march as the great army approached my bed. The marching got louder and louder as they covered my head. They carried me off, and out the door I was dragged, dropped into a huge jar. And then a loud voice bragged, that's one so far. It was Antonio, my long-lost friend. I shouted, Antonio, Antonio, help me, my friend. It is I, good old Muddy. I fear for my end. He said, next, hurry, all. We must settle more scores. Find the shipping records. We must have them all. And contact the colonies. We must have more queens.
Man.
That is really, really good.
Yeah, life come back and bite you, don't it?
Yes, it does.
That's pretty good, Muddy. I'm impressed. You know, this whole life coming back to bite you thing, it's a fact, Jack, because all this different craziness that we've done out there in this world, you know, you can't start a war over there and expect that someday, somehow, somebody's not going to try to retaliate, you know. It's like the Hatfield and McCoy story. When the Hatfields and McCoys first started fighting, it might have been over something simple. You know, nobody really knows where the feud actually begun. But the fact was, generation after generation hated each other, Hatfields and McCoys. Why? You know? And then
the lack of the ability to forgive.
And at some point, Yeah, but have the two, some of the youngest ones come together and say, do you guys even have any idea what this feud is all about? Why are we still doing this to each other? And that was pretty much the same story, what I said about the two little Palestinian girls saying that they didn't want peace with Israel because Israel killed their mom and dad.
You know, Buddy just said the secret word. The secret word. They did not learn how to forgive.
Yep.
And that's the whole secret right there. I mean, you don't, the parents don't even know what the heck they're fighting over. It takes generations for somebody to step up and say, well, why are we fighting? When in reality, the reason they were fighting is one family fought for the north, the other family fought for the south. And there was a Tug River separating the two families.
And
they used the excuse of the stealing of a hog to start a fight amongst themselves after the Civil War was over. And it was an excuse.
And
one family didn't like the other one because they fought for the South. And the family that fought for the South didn't like the other because they fought for the North. So when the fighting was over, there was no more Civil War, but they wanted to fight. They had this anger for each other. So one of them found a hog and killed it, and they ate it, and somebody found out that, now we got a real feud going on.
Just remember,
it became personal.
Just remember that it's really hard to find forgiveness on a battlefield.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
And the only people that see the end of the war are the ones that died.
Yeah, and to the victor writes the story, right?
Right.
Yep.
And 19 soldier rides away.
So, you know, we got the wisdom, folks. There's a lot of people out here, a lot of brilliant individuals out here that have the wisdom. We know what needs to be done. We know how to do it. We just got to come together and get it done.
You said it over and over again. I mean, you don't dislike Germans because they're in Germany. You don't dislike Russians because they live in Russia. Those people are the common people, not the government, but the common people. I mean, you could go to Russia, Germany, Italy, Hungary, whatever, Bulgaria, and go out in the country where the people are just struggling to make a living and make many, many friends.
Yeah.
And they can come over here and do the same thing, make tons of friends. The common people are not angry at each other. In fact, put them all together and they will naturally work together for the betterment of all. It's a natural instinct for people to come together. We're not herd animals like sheep or cattle or buffalo. But there again, we have this desire to pull together as one. Eat for us human. One more time. If we work together, we will succeed. And it's a natural instinct of man to do that.
Well, and if we don't, the alternative is we just watch the whole entire thing collapse, because that's exactly what it does. You know, a house takes maintenance, and if you don't maintain it, if you're not willing or not able to maintain it, then eventually, you know, it'll fall apart. It's with anything that man has ever created. What we create, it has a time clock on it from the time we start building it. We can build some things that will last a long time. We can make things out of glass that might last for an eternity. You know, I've got a few glass statues that I've picked up here and there that they'll probably be around for a long time. But even that could weather the test of time can still be shattered by one stupid mistake. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
There is nothing that man has ever created that can stand the test of time. Now, if we could just figure that out long enough to realize that if we work together, that glass statue, we can protect that glass statue. It will stand the test of time. We can ensure that nothing can ever happen to it. You know? And we can ensure that there ain't no people out there that feel like they have to sleep under a bridge because they can't afford a house. You know, there's so many different places out there with abandoned buildings that could be refurbished and people come together and actually build them up and give these folks the opportunity to to stay there to try to build their lives back. When people fall through the cracks of society, and some of the soldiers that come back from all these different war zones are so tormented in the things that they had done, the choices that they had made, or maybe that they didn't even do nothing wrong, but they saw the wrongs out there. They are so tormented that they just don't have the willpower to go forward. What's the point of going forward when you know there's such atrocities going on in the world? We have to find those folks. We have to lift them up. We have to show them that, yo, look, we know these terrible things occurred, and we're sorry that you had to go through that kind of deal. But here's a way that you can turn that around and make sure that it never happens for somebody else, that nobody else ever finds themselves in the position that you are. You know, there's the wisdom. You can find wisdom from the children. You can find wisdom from the people all over the world. All you have to do is be willing to listen. You see what I mean, guys?
Yep.
We can fix this world. We really can. We have the power to do so. We have the willpower. And at this point in the game, we're fighting against the beast. There is a spiritual war behind the scenes that some people agree on, some people don't agree on. But regardless, it still doesn't change the fact that regardless of whether you are a non-believer or a believer in a higher entity, a divine creator, the world is this. When you die, and that's it. Or when you die, you go to heaven or you go to hell, that's it. We're living here in the here and now. We're living in the same fishbowl. We're drinking the same water, breathing the same air. And for those out there who are trashing it all, they're taking everything that was supposed to be for everyone in the world and making it bad. You can't be a good caretaker of the land if you're too busy worrying about yourself personally. Sometimes it takes sacrifice. Sometimes you got to get out there and toil in order to make those plants grow so that you can pick that fruit and take it over to your neighbor. Am I wrong?
Nope. Nope, you are.
There may be times when you won't even be able to reap the benefits of your own hard work. You know, you won't be able to. You know, I plant an apple tree out there in my yard. I may never even get to enjoy an apple off that tree. But someday, down the line, somebody will. And it may not be my family. It may just be a total stranger or a trespasser on my land grabs an apple, but he'll have some food in his belly because I planted that tree.
And you'll hear a voice echoing from the past saying, "Stay off my lawn!"
Yeah, you'll hear me from my grave saying, "Stay off my lawn!"
You guys are cool.
But either way, folks, like I said, you know, we got it. If we want to do it, if we want this world to be fixed, then we got to just fix it. You know? Procrastination and lack of common sense is killing us all. These folks out here who are supposedly in charge, if they had their act together, these problems would have been solved. It don't take no 30 years to solve homelessness. It don't take no 30 years to solve starvation. And I'm saying 30 years, but I'm 50 years old. I've been around the block once or twice. I've seen a few things in my life. I know what it's like to be hungry. I know what it's like to be without a house. You know, I've slept in cars. I've been down that road. I've seen things, just like everybody else out here has seen things. And here we are now with opportunity, like my friend Steve always says, we have the sum of all humanity's knowledge at our fingertips. If we can't do it now with the tools and technology we got and the words of wisdom that are coming out of our mouths, then it can't be done. And if it can't be done, there's no purpose for this show anymore. There's no purpose for us together and try. If it's all hopeless, if the fat lady is already sung and it's over, then what's the point? But what my book says is that no man knows the time or day, that he'll come like a thief in the night. And so with that said, that tells me that until that time, until I'm dead, I still got an option of what I want to do with my life. And the choices that I make are going to affect those around me. And then some. What more can you say, man, that ain't already been said? What do you guys think?
Yep.
Exactly right.
Exactly.
Well, we need more knights.
Yeah, we do.
We need more lady knights. What do you call those? Doggone it.
Horse?
No. Don't! Man!
You know, I know who would make a great lady knight.
Damsels or...
Lady knight would be...
Dames.
Alaska Grandma. Lives in Arizona.
Well, perfectly. Can you get her in front of a microphone?
Videos on YouTube.
Can you get her in front of a microphone?
I'll contact you this week.
So we'd love to have her. Go over there and look at the Knights of the Round Table podcast page. And what I want you to see is there's a picture down the halfway down the page there. And there's a little tiny squirrel that is inside of a shiny suit of armor. And right up at the top of there, above that picture, it says, even the smallest knight can make a difference.
Yep.
And so, this isn't just an adults-only show. If kids out there and they're hearing, it's one of the reasons why I try to keep this show respectful, and I try to make sure that everybody is, watching their language, is because I don't just want to talk to the adults out there. I want to talk to the kids. I want to talk to the teenagers. I want to point out to them that as bad as things may appear in this world, that there is always a way to make things better. And as a kid being a young knight of the round table, or a teenager being a young knight of the round table, walking around and making good choices in life that are going to benefit not just yourself, but everybody else around you. Isn't that what it's all about? Those are those pebbles in the pond that we've been talking about. Those are those pay it forward times whenever you just try to help somebody out and then disappear into the night. That's what this is about. So with that said, we're down to the wire again, man. How much brilliance can you actually pack into a 3-hour show a day?
Yeah, really.
I already added Justin to the call, and he hasn't picked it up, but he keeps calling me. Alright, well, anyway, let's go around the table. Thomas, you got any last thoughts? Thomas, going once, going twice. I think he fell asleep on us. Alright, let's try you, Mighty. What about you?
Well, I don't hate the kids that I don't know and have never seen. They don't hate my kids. They don't know them and haven't seen. The only thing that keeps it all that going is the propaganda. And who runs the propaganda? The television, radio, and all that other stuff. You can't broadcast what's real. Take your station. I don't know. It seems like a never-ending deal.
So smash the squawk box.
Who can change it? Who can change it? Only those that bond together and have a like mind. Those that seek to join together and work together. So best thing I can say is just, get with those with like minds. And then it's kind of like being on a job and you can't seem to get anything done because everything you need to do takes two hands, but there's not another hand. So you'll find that when you get together, you're going to get about six times, anywhere 5 to 6 times the work done. Why? Because you're able to have 5 hands if you need to and get the things done. I've done jobs where I worked really good, was moving right along, was quite happy, and then all of a sudden you come across an obstacle and you need to be at both ends of a room at the same time. When you got one other person, you aren't stuck on that one spot for a long time. It takes binding together. And it also takes a little learning how to forgive.
Yep, there you go, brother. What about you, Raymond?
Well, after Buddy, I don't know what to say other than just back him up. E pluribus unum. Together we stand, divided we fall. And it's exactly what he just said. We've got to start banding together. We've got to find people of like interest that want to do something and help the world. I mean, I've already done my living. I've made my success. Now it's time I started doing something for who's coming behind me.
Put the dream teams together in your local towns, in your local cities, in your countries. Put the dream teams together and get things done. You got plenty of people out there with plenty of talents. Get together with them and put your pride aside and get the work done that needs to be done to make this world a better place. Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless. Use common sense as you make your choices in life, and there's nothing more that anybody can ask from you as long as that you do everything respectfully and informative. What can you say, man? That's it. That's the Knights of the Round Table in a nutshell. Bring people to the table, folks. Get out there on your social media networks and get them over here. Get them talking and get them working together. There's a problem in your neighborhood, and maybe I got the resources on my side that I can ship to you, vice versa, you know? Together, we can accomplish a lot. Individually, we can sit around and complain about how terrible the world is while somebody else is doing worse than we are. Thomas, are you there? We're getting ready to bail out. Not sure what Thomas would have said, but I know it would have been brilliant.
So,
with that said, everybody, you've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Peace and love. If you like this podcast, please do rebroadcast it or pass it on to somebody else, you know, or mention us on your social media networks. Come over and say hi to everybody. There's plenty of networks, plenty of links, and more to come. And that's what we're doing here. We're trying to make the world a better place, one positive pebble at a time. Take care. Ah, boy, that just blew that one out of the water.
What?
I almost played the wrong doggone song on the way out. Let's try this one more time. So even I can have a blooper. Peace and love, everybody. Been listening to Knights of the Round Table. That song was terrible, too.
Man, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Oh, who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system. Help, help, I'm being repressed.
Bloody peasant.
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table, we dance whenever we're able. We do routines in all the scenes, we put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam art. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off from bad in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Fulfill the turbo and the knights of the round table.